best lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-load conditions versus APISP test limits.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right? Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes.
Text RADIO to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Olvinger. A judge in Latham County, Idaho, has agreed to a change of venue in the trial of Brian Koberger. He's charged with the stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. His lawyers argued there was no way he could get a fair trial there. The debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris is tomorrow night. ABC's political director Rick Klein on what they need to accomplish.
Harris, to a lot of people in the public, that isn't that well-defined. A lot of people want to know more about our policy positions. Trump doesn't have the same issue. He might be too well-defined in some ways, and he may want to kind of soften the edges or change the perceptions a little bit when he gets on that stage, but it'll be up to the candidates to define what kind of debate they want to have.
ABC's David Muir and Lindsay Davis will moderate. A House report on the U.S. military drawdown from Afghanistan finds fault with the Biden administration, but it says that it doesn't appear that Vice President Harris was involved in any of the key decisions. This is ABC News. Israel has partially reopened its three border crossings with Jordan a day after a Jordanian truck driver opened fire at one crossing in the West Bank, killing three Israeli police officers.
Authorities say the Jordanian gunman killed at the scene was a so-called lone wolf attacker who did not belong to a terror group. The deadly attack, a worrying sign that violence is spreading to the normally quiet and peaceful Jordanian border after nearly a year of war in Gaza and intensifying IDF raids in the West Bank. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Boeing may have averted a strike. The company reached a tentative agreement with its machinist union on Sunday, agreeing to a 25% wage increase over 4 years, better health care and retirement benefits, and a commitment to make its next aircraft in Washington State. The union will vote on the deal later this week. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius or two half geniuses and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Former President Donald Trump delivered wide-ranging remarks during a Saturday rally in Mosinee.
We will ultimately eliminate the Federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the states. We'll send it back to the states so that Ron Johnson can run it, okay?
Trump's latest campaign visit to Wisconsin followed news that his sentencing on his New York hush money trial conviction will be postponed until after the election. Prison time for a fatal punch, 7 years in prison for 65-year-old Kevin Samer on his felony murder conviction in the death of 39-year-old Josh Davies. He died weeks after being punched by Samer at a Heartland bar in June of last year in a fight that began when Samer criticized Davies' tattoos. In Waukesha County Court Friday, Davies' mother requested a maximum sentence.
To get the defendant off the streets and his animal-like behavior to be caged and controlled. The pain and damage you, Kevin, have caused to him and so many others is just simply unbearable and unacceptable.
Samer, who had no prior criminal record, will have 5 years of extended supervision after his release. He received credit for more than a year already spent in the Waukesha County Jail. Life in prison for a Madison man convicted of killing a toddler.
Online court records show Marshawn Giles was sentenced last week to life without the possibility of release. Giles was found guilty of over a dozen charges, including first-degree intentional homicide and first-degree child sexual assault. The 20-month-old girl was found dead in April of 2022 when Madison police entered an apartment. An autopsy found the child suffered skull fractures and blunt force injuries consistent with sexual assault. Dane County jurors rejected a defense plea of not guilty for reason of insanity to some of the charges against Giles, during his trial earlier this year. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. And then warmer sunshine Wednesday with a high near 88. If you love weather, check out severestudios.com. You'll find live radar, weather stories, and live storm chasers at severestudios.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Soybeans bounce after Friday's reversal, but still can't get through chart resistance, while corn trades sideways heading into Thursday's USDA report. Cattle futures stage a nice recovery on Monday in tandem with the stock market, but was it also better cash ideas?
Live from 99 Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip, say hello to Michelle Rook.
Hey, good Monday morning. Well, it's afternoon, I guess. It feels like morning to me. But
does it? Really?
Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, to all of us, to us all. What did you nod off or something there for a while? Did you miss some of the hours of the mid morning?
No, I didn't. I'm gonna call that one of my blonde moments. Okay, I get to.
Oh, really?
I get to use that once in a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, because I can sympathize. I slept most of the day yesterday. I'm gonna be honest. I'm coming in maybe too well rested into this Monday today.
I have those moments too, but I'm not blonde, so I don't know.
Okay, what's your excuse, Joe? Come on.
I'm getting old.
I refuse
to believe that. I do not accept that answer.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't try to claim blonde moments very often because, you know, being in this business as a female, I always try to make, you know, the first impression that I know what I'm talking about and that I'm not an airhead. So,
well, you've definitely long ago left an excellent, sterling first impression with us here. So I think you're good to go.
Oh,
go
thanks.
Ahead and play the card. Yeah, go ahead and use the card.
All right.
You betcha. Yeah.
Right. All right. All right, Davis. Well, what's going on in the news here today?
Well, I tell you, wheat futures were generally softer despite falling Canadian wheat stocks and lowered projections for the Russian crop. Canadian wheat stocks fell 18.5% from a year ago as of July 31. That's according to Stats Canada.
Meanwhile, Russia's ICAR has forecast Russia's wheat crop to fall 500,000 metric tons from its prior outlook. USDA reported wheat export inspections of nearly 587,000 metric tons, down from the previous week. And that was near the low end of pre-report guesses. December HRW wheat futures 1¾ of 1 cent lower, 575¾. December SRW wheat added 1½ cent to 568½. December spring wheat closed at 607¼. That's down 6½ cents on the day. And Michelle, we're seeing some fundamentals that should stack up for at least a little bit of price support. Just couldn't get
it
going.
Yeah, you would have thought that. Yeah, especially with the Stats Canada numbers, as you mentioned. But it sounds like, you know, we're headed into a report. You might have had some spread trade today. And certainly there's a little concern if we get too high here, maybe we won't be competitive on a global basis with the Black Sea.
Yeah. Well, corn futures shook off a lack of direction and mustered itself higher by the end of the day. Well, mostly. According to World Weather Inc., a drier bias will continue across the Midwest for the next 10 days. USDA reported corn export inspections of 836,000 metric tons for the week ended September 6, down from the previous week, but within the pre-report range of expectations. December corn futures were a penny higher, Michelle, 407¼. March corn futures gained 1½ cents to 426. July corn futures closed at 443¾, up 1½ cents. I guess we'll take really any nod to the upside here at this point in the corns, Michelle.
Well, and Friday was not a very good technical day for either corn or soybeans because we scored some pretty wicked reversals. So to be up here today at all, I think, is probably a little bit of a victory, especially as you're going into the report Thursday.
Well, soybean futures drafted higher with the rest of the soy complex, as did export demand and some corrective buying. USDA reported daily soybean sales of 132,000 metric tons to China for the 24-25 marketing year. The Paraguay River has fallen to a record low with water levels depleted by a severe drought upriver in Brazil. And the Paraná River in Argentina also low around the grain export hub at Rosario. Here at home, USDA reported soybean export inspections of 354,000 metric tons. That was down from the previous week, but well within the range of pre-report trade guesses. November beans 13 cents higher, 10.18. January beans firmed 13 cents to 10.35½. March beans closed at 10.49½, also up 13 today. A hat trick of 13s in the beans. Michelle?
Yeah, no doubt. And meal and oil both helping us out, so that was nice to see. But again, the push here today may have been the China business, some concerns about South American weather. We'll find out from Chip Nellinger coming up if he thinks it's too early to be trading some of this weather news out of Brazil.
Well, and just real quick, too, on the soybean meal, the soy complex was pretty stout earlier in the day, but it looks like at the close here, we got September meal down slightly, October meal down slightly. You get up past the D's, and we've got the meal higher back out there towards the back months. December cotton softened 14 points today to 67.74. On your livestock.
I always look at the December contract. That's the most actively traded. That's why I said it was up, Davis.
Indeed, indeed. Okay. Cattle futures started the session moving higher, but fell back around midday. By the end of the session, fat and feeder cattle had turned higher to post an impressive settlement. October fat cattle gained $1.75 to 176.92½. October feeder futures $3.77½ higher, but 234.72½. And on the snout side, hog futures were mixed in today's trade as the cash index softened seasonally. October hogs today 70 cents lower, 78.80. The December contract down 12½, 71.10. Michelle, over to you.
Yeah, thanks. And we bring in with Price Perspective, Jack Scoble with Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Well, it was nice to see soybeans back up, even corn, after what wasn't the best technical close on Friday.
No, definitely a rebound, and you like to see that to start off a week. Gives you hope for the rest of the week that we can see some higher prices. And the one thing about beans is the demand remains good, especially from China. So I think that's definitely helping out. The dry weather down in South America is also playing a part. And I think there are some questions about I'm sure that the USDA reports are going to show some pretty huge yields on Thursday, or at least this week. But I think there are real questions as to how accurate those reports are going to be, given the weather that we've seen over the last couple of weeks around here.
Yeah, and how much of that big crop is already priced in? It's probably another question.
Well, I kind of think we've made an early low here, at least the start of a major low here. And I think a lot of it has been priced in. The funds have been covering short positions, show no real desire to do any fresh new selling here. So they obviously figure that we've priced in most of the crop. And let's face it, the prices got very, very cheap here just a few weeks ago. And we've been recovering ever since.
Absolutely. How encouraged were you with the turn up in the cattle futures today? A nice technical move. Does that negate some of the damage we did last week?
A little bit. I'm hopeful that the cattle prices will hold fairly strong. Our economic numbers have kind of slid off here a little bit lately, but you know the economy remains strong, and I feel like we got to respect that and respect the buying power of the American public, which continues to hang in there pretty well.
All right. Thanks so much, as always, Jack Scoble with Price Futures Group. We will be back. Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing, will be joining us with analysis coming up here on AgriTalk.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Brook in for Chip Flory, who's on vacation today, well deserved, and Let's bring in Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of the Peoria, Illinois area to visit with us today. Good to have you along, Chip.
Hey, great to be on, Michelle. How you doing?
You're not too bad. So we've had a good rally off of the contract lows in corn, beans, and wheat. So let's talk about this. The funds were loaded up record short coming into the month of August. And was it all fund short covering? Is that all we did was relieve this oversold condition in the market?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, to be honest. I think that we were getting close to the time period of a seasonal low. And I honestly, okay, in hindsight, I think the August crop report from USDA maybe did us a favor, because those numbers were so high that we traded this massive, corn number and bean number. And then we kind of didn't end the season really well, right? There was a lot of dry weather around. And I know there was several states here, and especially east of the Mississippi, that kind of suffered through some triple digit heat there right at the wrong time, at the tail end of the growing season for corn. And so I think combination of all that, the fact that maybe the market now thinks that, the normal seasonal time frame is here, and B, we probably traded the biggest corn yield number, that we have to shave that back a little bit. And, the funds covered some shorts at the end of the month and the start of a new month. And, you know, it's kind of got a different flavor now. We've kind of turned some of the shorter term moving averages and, got above the 50 day for a period of time. And it's been a nice reprieve, because it was pretty depressing there in, into the first half of August before we saw this turnaround.
Right. And let's talk about commitment of traders report out on Friday. So corn, especially, we have seen them trim down to what? Only short 175,000 contracts.
Yeah, they were to come out of almost 100,000 contracts just in, four or five trading sessions. So that just goes to show you that there was a lot of farmer selling out there. We knew there was a lot of old crop corn. Some of that probably got cleaned up on this bounce, probably some new crop sales. And so it was, really kind of easy, it appeared, for the funds to come out of 1,000 contracts because of that farmer selling above the market. Again, like a day like today, where you start off lower and then you end and trade into higher territory, they're probably coming out of some additional shorts. But I thought, of anything, that commitment of traders on Friday was, maybe the most shocking to me on the corn, that they came out of that many without driving the market even higher than what they did.
I know. And you and I talked about that farmer selling might cap those rallies, even if funds covered a big chunk of their position, which they did. Soybeans, they're still short, 154,000, I see?
Yeah, they didn't come out of as many, bean shorts as they did corn, relatively speaking. So they still have some more room to go there. Maybe that's why beans seem to kind of lead the way here today and, kind of brought corn and wheat along for the ride, kicking and screaming. So yeah. Nice day in the beans. Again, starting to turn above some of the shorter-term moving averages, crossing for higher, and, got above the 50-day moving average, and that's kind of driving its own momentum now with some additional short covering. So, again, above us, especially if we get up into the 1050, 1060 range, I think there's going to be a lot more selling pressure, just above us in the bean market here.
So technically, what is your signal that you're watching to confirm that we've put in early harvest lows in both corn and soybeans? Because we've had, higher weekly closes 3 weeks in a row in soybeans, a couple weeks in corn now.
Yeah, the first time you've had two consecutive higher weekly closes in corn since April, so it's been a little while. That's a great question. I think first and foremost in the beans, one thing would be if we can get above Friday's highs. You mentioned it earlier. We had a pretty wicked technical reversal bar on Friday. Got some of that back today. If we close above that high from Friday, which is 1031 and a quarter, that also was the 50-day moving average that kind of stopped this on Friday. So if you get above there, I think that can, fan some momentum. But I just am a little bit fearful on the bean market. We'll have to see what they say on Thursday on these yields. Some of the very early harvest, I don't know that it's enough to really get a feel yet, but the customers we're talking to, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Kentucky, really, really good bean yields, surprisingly good. And so, again, there's going to be plenty of farmers selling. It seems like farmers have more of a tendency to sell beans off the combine. store corn. True. So once bean harvest kind of picks up steam here, that could kind of maybe cap us for a little bit on an upside rally.
Okay, we'll talk about corn in a minute, but since we're still talking about soybeans, what do you expect in terms of adjustments? You mentioned USDA or yields, I should say, on soybeans might have come down because of some of the dryness that we saw in the month of August into September, but will USDA reflect that?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard Jack mention that earlier. Will it be accurate? I don't know. There were some really good rains in areas in August too, ahead of some of that heat. So, they were out there in the first few days of August. So I think it's going to be a pretty good snapshot. I think obviously the market's going to want some actual data from the field, from the combine yield monitor, as well as the second opinion, so to speak, from the USDA in October. But I think it's going to be a good snapshot. I wouldn't expect a real big change in beans, honestly, just based on some of the yields that we heard. I do think, though, that on corn, you could maybe see a little bigger cut. It just seems to me like early yields on corn are no better than a year ago, a little bit disappointing, especially based on this big number we got from the USDA last month.
How much would you have to shave off of yield, though, to get a real big price response?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the bean fundamentals, the bean balance sheet, is going to be harder to make a big move than corn. Corn's still relatively tight. The demand is really good. If you'd shave 2 bushels to 3 bushels, if you got us back down to, and I'm not saying that's going to happen all on the September report on Thursday, but here over the next 2-3 months, if we could get corn yields back closer to 180 or slightly below, I think things then make a case for it. This carryout's pretty tight. Demand's good. And, Argentina especially is looking to plant a lot less acres down there. So to me, 2-3 bushels eventually in corn, if you see that, really becomes something that can be a little more friendly. I think it's going to be harder to move the balance sheet and the needle on beans because, in my opinion, I know we've talked about this before, the bean demand, total bean demand is 200 million bushels higher than a year ago. So I think that was too high of a bar initially. So if they do shave yields, I think that they could also kind of shave back demand a little bit and it won't be as bullish a scenario in beans.
Yeah, let's talk about that because China's been in buying, but they're still behind where they were last year at this time in terms of their soybean purchases, aren't they?
Yeah, they're way behind. It's good to see the business. It's almost daily. We sold another flash sale this morning. But while it's good to see, they're still playing catch up compared to the last couple of years and last year especially. So they got a ways to go. They're probably still going to buy here for, the foreseeable future out into early winter. And then it becomes a situation as to the weather in South America. If they feel like Brazil's got a big crop coming, they're probably sooner rather than later start buying their needs out of Brazil and leave us hanging here.
And in fact, you believe that the soybean market has been putting in some South American weather premium, right?
Yeah, I really do. I didn't really think that until today. I thought it was more about short covering. It is very, very dry down there, low river levels, historically dry, but it's still early enough that they could certainly, have really good yields still if they start getting rain. The action overnight and today, though, told me, at least in my opinion, that bean market's way more concerned about that forecast in Brazil, than maybe what I thought last week. So I think it is, partially due to the weather forecast down there. The funds obviously are buying this and coming out some shorts. So, the thing about that is, though, if it would straighten out and they start getting some better rains, then they could reduce some of that premium pretty quickly in the bean market.
You bet. So the corn market, from a technical standpoint, again, there, what are you watching in terms of confirming that harvest low?
Yeah, again, like the bean market, we were able to close above the 50-day moving average in corn. The bean markets kind of stopped us dead in our tracks. So again, I think the first hurdle is getting above last week's highs. That's 416 on the December contract. You're looking, again, at the 38% retracement, which comes in just over 427. I think part of it is, I think 3 of the last 5 years, we have put an August low in, harvest low in corn. And I don't know why this year would be any different. I wouldn't rule out some sort of a deeper retest towards the lows. We got a lot of harvest ahead of us. And, you know, even if they come down in yields, we're still looking at what's likely going to be a record corn harvest, and there's not much of it sold. So that could, you know, take a little while to develop. But I think longer term, the potential friendliness on the balance sheet in corn says that we likely did see that, again, maybe fourth out of 5 years now, or fourth out of six, I guess it would be August harvest low in corn back there on the 27th.
Well, when you have that much big bearish anticipation of yield, like you say, maybe we priced it in already. So,
yeah, I thought that was in hindsight helpful from the USDA standpoint, having that big of a yield in August.
Yeah.
And had people talking, oh, maybe it's 184, 185.
Yeah, we'll finish this discussion coming back here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 1¾ cents lower at 575¾. December soft red wheat added 1½ cents to 568½. December corn futures were a penny higher at 407¼. March corn futures gained 1½ cents to 426. November soybean futures were 13 cents higher at 1018. Jan beans also up 13, 1035½. December cotton down 14 points, 67.74. On your livestock's October fat cattle gained $1.75 to 176.92½. October feeders were $3.77½ higher at 234.72½. And October lean hogs today 70 cents lower at 78.80. Get more. Visit TryProFarmer.com.
Retirement can be...
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. And then warmer sunshine Wednesday with a high near 88. If you love weather, check out SevereStudios.com. You'll find live radar, weather stories, and live storm chasers at SevereStudios.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Well, happy Monday, everyone. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory here on AgriTalk. Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, is joining us with our analysis today. And Chip, we've talked a little bit about the reports, the rally that we've had in corn and soybeans, and whether, you know, the harvest lows are in. I guess the next question I have for you is, with this rally that we've had, if you think it's a gift, how much should producers have priced on this rally, or should they wait? What are you talking about with them on marketing right now?
Yeah, we definitely scaled into some sales there late week on both corn and beans from a new crop perspective. Getting up towards 25-30%. I guess the talk we're having with producers was exactly what we talked about before the break. The bean numbers, if you want to be a little more aggressive, probably, you know, shade over to being aggressive on the bean side at the expense of holding back a little bit on corn, because corn might have a better chance for a bigger post-harvest bounce. Now, we go into a drought in South America, and, you know, if that thing lasts into October, November, that's a different story, and beans will explode. But I don't think you can, factor in a South American drought into your marketing plan at this stage. Yeah.
So we talked about demand on soybeans. Let's talk about demand here on corn. It's been very good. Exports are 40% above a year ago. Ethanol grind has been running ahead of last year. But, you know, I have crude oil below $70. What does that do to ethanol margins here, even with lower corn?
Yeah, it's going to be a concern. They've been really strong. The margins have been really good for a long time. In fact, I think it was 2 weeks ago we set a new record as far as the ethanol grind, if I'm not mistaken, and then followed up last week with another big number. So it's there, but it is very concerning. We've dipped under 70. Can't seem like we can regain that yet on crude oil. That maybe to me is signaling a bigger issue with the world economy and potentially world demand going forward. So it is a concern out there. I don't think it's critical yet. But if we would dip down, you know, say back under 65 and get closer to 60 on crude oil, then I think that becomes a bigger headwind for both ethanol and the renewable diesel side.
Yeah, and boy, we have had some hiccups here in terms of regulatory policy for all the biofuels. So that certainly hasn't been helping bean oil. I mean, bean oil traded under 40 cents there. Who thought that was going to happen?
So. Yeah, that's maybe not turning out. I know we've got any demand is good demand, and we're putting plants online, but it seems like there's some real issues that need fixed in that renewable diesel sector. That this Chinese cooking oil is really a problem right now.
Oh yeah, the used cooking oil imports. Boy, has that gotten politically heated. Okay, all right. Let's talk about the wheat market as well. Here we talked about the fact that, you know, we didn't get much of a rally here today off of the Stats Canada news. Let's talk about why.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the opposite of what we talked about in corn, right? Because, you know, the USDA comes out at a 183 and change, and that's just a huge number, and now we got to work backwards. I think it was kind of the opposite on this wheat number. So, the USDA in August, I think, was like 1.8 million metric tons as far as the Canadian wheat ending stocks. And it was tighter, right? It's tighter than a year ago, but they had a big revision higher in their old crop wheat stocks. And so it while it was less than a year ago, it was still above what the market expected. And I think that really kind of held us back, especially the spring wheat contract today.
Yeah, and then you had the dollar higher. I suppose that did not help as well, but it's been interesting to watch the wheat market, because you would think with all of the global production concerns and problems that we have, that market would have taken off. And it's really ignored a lot of that, especially out of the Black Sea, don't you think?
Yeah, it's been like 3+ months. You just almost on a weekly basis there, it seemed like for about 2 months, you just kept seeing revisions lower on the European wheat crop and all these problems in the Black Sea and Ukraine. And wheat just went down every day. And again, I think that was, you know, just shows you that sometimes the fundamentals will eventually win. And I think they're starting to be reflected, but, you know, these funds have so much money and they trade so large that they just kind of kept putting the shorts on in spite of friendly fundamentals. The seasonal would tell you that we're probably a little bit past the time frame where we normally start rallying in wheat. Pretty good performance last week, but, you know, have backed up a little bit. If we can take that high out from last week, I think that's going to be really important. That's still well above us, 582 and three quarters on the December Chicago. So we got, 12, 13 cents to go. If you saw that, I think you would see some additional quick short covering from the funds, but it's been a little bit sloppy here for a couple of days.
Yeah, the wheat market is usually the first to bottom, though, and so we need some leadership there, don't we?
Yeah, and I've said all along, I even if you're only a corn grower and you don't care about wheat, you don't produce wheat, they're tied at the hip this year. Mm-hmm. So we need the wheat market to bottom and put a little better rally in for corn to have any hope of going higher as well.
That's absolutely true. They're all intertwined together. I try to tell farmers that a lot, and sometimes they get mad about that, but that's the way it is. Let's talk a little bit about the cattle market. Nice rebound today. It looked like it was somewhat in sympathy with the stock market. Did we negate some of the technical damage that we did to the charts last week?
Well, I think if you have immediate follow through to the upside, that we did, right? It's close enough to me. You look at it and you say, oh, that's, everybody's gonna be calling that a double bottom now. And seasonally, we're right on time where you put a low in too. So I think if the cash market can hold together, and we see a little bit of strength, especially into the end of the week, that we'll look back and say that was a double bottom. That was kind of a seasonal low. But obviously, the cash market's going to have to come along for the ride, too.
Well, okay, the five-area weighted average, 181.18 last week, down 263. Do you think the market was thinking we were going to have, I heard, steady cash trade to start the week? The cash trade pulled down the futures, or was it the other way around?
I'm not sure about that. That's sometimes more easily discernible. I'm not sure which it was. I think that, you know, as you look at the deferreds, though, they had quite a bit of discount built in. So maybe it's a case where we didn't break cash as deep as what they thought. Maybe they think that was kind of the last gasp going down for the cash market. And if the seasonal normally, which would turn for higher going into late September and early October, you know, maybe there's enough pent up buying in here that people wanted to kind of bottom pick and try to pick a low in here today.
Well, we've been hearing that the packers were actively chasing cattle all the way into Friday night last week. So that tells you they might be a little short.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. That would be a good development. If you can keep them on their heels and they have to get aggressive, then you really could see a nice sharp rally and you know, maybe get prices back well north of 180 very quickly.
How much of the sell-off late last week, especially Friday, was tied to what happened with the stock market? We had one of the worst weeks for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think the cattle market always looks over there to the equities and keeps an eye on where they're trading. And I think that obviously didn't help us. And again, like we talked, crude oil is not a real good situation. Not that there's a direct correlation between crude oil and cattle, but I see the crude oil market as a good kind of overview of what general world economic demand is. And, you know, if we can't kind of get back above 70 quickly, that could be a headwind on cattle. But I think it's set up pretty well with the discounts that we got on these deferreds. As long as the cash can hold together and, you know, rally like it normally does, I think the cattle market probably has some good footing here.
Yeah, we just got to get these weights under control too, don't we?
Yeah, still 23, 24 pounds above a year ago, but at least it's not 35 like it was a few weeks ago.
So let me ask you, with the volatility that we've seen in the stock market, crude oil going below $70, are we seeing some reallocation of some of these fund or money managers?
Well, maybe. That's the great hope, right? And I don't know that there's a direct one-to-one correlation. You know, people say, oh, if there's a big break in the stock market, these funds will come out of stocks and they'll buy commodities. And I'm not sure it's quite that easy. But in a general sense, I think commodities in general look pretty attractive. So if there's a sense that, you know, interest rates are coming down and that could maybe still stimulate some demand and maybe we haven't seen the last of inflation, there's just, you know, certain segments in commodities, grains in particular, that look pretty cheap right now. So that there might be some of that at work here. I think it might take a little while. I think it might take till after the election to kind of sift some of this out. But, you know, certainly the grain market especially is quote unquote cheap right now in a you know, relative term.
Right. And the funds always look for value. You and I have talked about that before. I guess, you know, one of the other questions that I have about that whole thing is, so there's been talk that the funds maybe have not wanted to own grains, maybe the ag commodities, because of what's been going on with interest rates. If the Fed starts backing off here, will that also make grains more attractive?
Yeah, it could. It could very well, because, you know, I think that the argument is higher interest rates have slowed things down a little bit. You know, home sales in certain areas are starting to cool a little bit. But you know, as interest rates go lower, that actually becomes, you know, gross stimulative to the economy. So I don't think that's going to hurt. Let's put it that way, especially if it's a half a percent instead of a quarter of a point that they move lower on interest rates. I think if it's a bigger jump, that maybe that would bring some more money off the sideline saying, hey, you know, longer term as a value play here, commodities might be the thing to own for a little while.
All right. They meet what, next week? So what are you expecting there? Is it going to be a quarter or a half?
I would guess a quarter. Again, I'm not any more knowledgeable than anyone else on the street when it comes to the Fed, but I would guess a quarter of a point. You know, there haven't been any dramatically off, you know, expectation economic reports. They've been a little bit weak, but right, within the range of expectations. So I would think they have enough time ahead of them that they only move a quarter of a point.
Okay, we'll see. Thanks so much, Chip. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing. When we come back, we're going to get chart and technical action perspective with Carrie Arsek. You're listening to AgriTalk.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. Roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC, a powerful biocatalyst that optimizes the breakdown of your dry fertilizer for increased nutrient availability and uptake. Power crop performance next season and maximize your yield, even with variable weather, prices, or soil types, with Titan XC. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Joining us is Larry Lemke. He is from Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? You know, we've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation. And now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay, what's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature. Instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business, we're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors. You drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil. And so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rourke in for Chip Flory this afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Well, segment four here, we look at the chart perspective with Kerry Artek with Artek Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Good to have you along, Kerry.
Thanks, Michelle. Great to be here.
Hey, I know you have several charts we're going to talk about, starting with November soybeans. And I know we've had a good rally off the lows, but it seems to me like we've been having kind of a difficult time taking out some of these chart resistance areas. What are you watching? Are you bearish soybeans, or do you think we're going to get above these levels?
Well, near term, I think I'm bullish because I see a counter trend rally in effect. And by counter trend, I mean the big picture still remains bearish. I had a long-term sell signal in early July below chart levels that are presently 1065 even to 1083 even. We closed today at 1018 even. We could see those upper areas over the next week or two. 1065 even is a two-year former channel bottom on the November chart that we broke below. That was a big deal. 1083 even is like an eight-year channel structure that we fell back below on the weekly continuation chart. That area is our price ceiling from the way I see it through the rest of the year and into next spring. And in fact, below which the emphasis remains south. Selling pressures can continue building longer term. We do have 973 and three quarter below the market that is in reach over the next week or two. And it can contain weekly selling pressures, but if we close below it, I just think that this market continues falling into the 780s. 788 and a quarter remains kind of like a long-term 6 to 12-month objective following the settlement in early July below 1065 even. So I have my eye on that as a long-term possibility. Now, there's no certainty we'll get down there, but I will say that if we close below 973 and three quarter over the next couple of weeks, then the emphasis does remain one of expecting 788 and a quarter possibly by the end of the year, where we encounter actually a 12-year channel structure on the weekly continuation chart that could contain broader soybean market selling through all of next year and possibly even longer term. Now for the upside, if we can close back above 1083 even at the end of a week, then I see a good annual low and likely recovery over the following 3 to 5 months into like the 1180, 1190 region where we find our next long-term trouble spot. So getting back up and over 1083 even would be an accomplishment for this market, would take us out of that long-term bear market. On to October feeder cattle. I mentioned this market today because we did, for the first time in a long time, post a long-term sell signal. We actually closed below a four-year channel bottom that the market had been playing inside of and tested, came off of it last December following the COVID low, April of 2020. So the four-year bull trend is over. We also violated a two-year channel structure, all in the 239.65 to 240.65 region. We settled today at 234.72. So any rallies into the 239, 240 area should be considered sell opportunities at this point longer term. A 222 even remains a 1 to 2 month downside objective. And over the next 6 months, 209.45 in reach, where we could actually bottom out into spring, summer of next year. If we can close above 240.65 in the coming weeks, that neutralizes that long-term sell signal, would then signal 255 even within a month or two, and possibly 269 even within 6 months. 269 even is a 30-year channel top we've tested twice now in the last year, September of last year and May of this year, and we've fallen significantly each time we've tested it. And now we're actually in a long-term sell signal following all that below 239.65. And finally, I've got a stock pick, wickedstocks.com, GitLab, GTLB is the symbol. It is a large mid-cap stock, $8.6 billion market capitalization, trades a healthy 2.5 million shares a day. $54.71 is a big price ceiling for this stock. We close $53.45 today. If we can close the week Friday above $54.71, this is a big deal, I think, a big rally. We should see a 20% move or so to 69 even within about 1 to 2 months. And I do think over the next 6 months or sooner, 85 even would be in order. That would be almost a 50% gain following a settlement above 54.71. But until then, nothing to do here but play the short side if you like. Holding below 54.71 will keep 42 even in reach over the next month or two, and potentially all the way back into the low 30s, where we've been several times over the last few years. That could take 6 months or so. But really, 54.71 is a big pivot point for GitLab. If we can close above it, nothing to do but buy the stock and hold it as we move through the rest of the year and into early next. And that is all I've got, Michelle.
Okay. You expect this volatility we've seen in the stock market to continue?
I think so. Yes. Okay. I mean, we're in an election year. There's a lot of uncertainty. I think the volatility will hold tight and just buckle up, right?
You bet. How can folks get more information on either your commodity or stock advisory services?
The commodity side is artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. I offer a two-week trial there. And the stock side is wickedstocks.com, W-I-C-K-E-D, stocks.com. And we offer a five-day free trial up front on any subscription. You can bail out if you don't like what you see. Most people stick around.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, Carrie Artek with Artek Advisory and wickedstocks.com. Well, Davis, if you're still with me, do you got some weather to share with me? How's the rest of the week looking?
We've taken a step back here temperature wise. I don't know if in your area over the weekend here in Kansas City. In fact, the wife and I were out playing music for a bunch of weirdos at this really fun party. We were in jackets. On Saturday night, and like at 9 o'clock too. It wasn't just late. It was, lovely little chill in the air. I wish I could report that that's going to continue. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day temperature outlook valid September 15 through 19. Above normal heat expected across the gut slot of America, particularly over Minnesota, your area there in, eastern South Dakota, eastern North Dakota, dipping down into northern Iowa and Nebraska. I mean, it's red all the way across the nation's midsection. You got to get clear over to, Arizona, Idaho, before you see below normal temperatures in the 6 to 10 day. Above normal precipitation is expected everywhere except the far northeastern tip of the nation. Looking out to the 7 to 10 day, pretty much the same story. A little bit less chance for precipitation nationwide there. Michelle, I will take the reins tomorrow morning. We have another informative, exciting series of conversations for our beloved listeners. And with that, I'll let you take us home.
All right. Well, thanks, Davis. We appreciate it. Again, Davis will be hosting tomorrow AgriTalk AM at 10:06. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle Brook in for Vacationing Chip Flory here on AgriTalk.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
Three and two and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase